Galway Bay FM Sports News with GoBus. Operating up to 10 daily services, including early morning and late evening between Ballina and Galway City. Book online at gobus.ie.
Thanks, John, for that. Further details from galwayfm.ie. Oliver joins me, Radio Kate Sport, today. Morning to you.
Morning, Keith.
Now, we spoke Friday, but it was a great weekend for Corrifin, Munavee Abbey and Menlock.
All three will represent Galway in the Connacht Club Championships. I don't know what time the bookie shops open, Keith, but whatever time they do, there's probably a queue forming outside the door of people holding dockets saying Corrifin 9-4 to win a county final. When you think about it, and I said it to you on Friday, it was ludicrous to think that you could get a club like Corrifin, who were 9-4, were 9-2 at the start of the championship. Let's look at that first. 4.5-1, and then 9-4 for a county final for a one-off match.
Yeah.
It was just daft.
Gaga.
And I'm sure a lot of people profited it from that.
Mm.
That's the last I'm going to say about betting and odds. But what that meant was that you'd Corrifin going in as pretty much rank outsiders against Moy Cullen, which doesn't make any sense. I mean, they've won the championship practically every second year for the last three decades. So why wouldn't you? And even more than that. So they're back on top of the tree, deservedly so. They ground out the victory and they now march on in the provincial championship. Where, look, they're likely to be playing Ballina, even though Ballina beating Brafey in the Mayo County final last week, 6-4. I think most people coming out of Castlebar that day says Ballina will do well to get out of London, where they play Fulham Irish next Sunday.
A lot of people left
Corrifin that play the winner of that.
A lot of people left that game, didn't they, on the day in Gweston?
Yeah, it was. I know the Galway final was pretty good yesterday, in fairness, compared to that.
It was
cracking. So Corrifin on top there. I mean, I was in Tuam on Saturday for Munavee Abbey Kilconnelly. Another great game. An unbelievable atmosphere. Munavee Abbey have a superb support. I mean, incredible attachment to their players and their teams. They always have had. And there's something about Bunty Roach. He's kind of a mythical sort of character. Every now and again, he crops up when the parish needs him. And he leads them to the promised land. I mean, there'll be a statue of Bunty Roach. I'd imagine Pete will get the funding, but Bunt deserves a statue after what he's done. When you think of his career going back to leading Munavee Abbey to the championship in 92, he'd already won a championship before that with him, and now this one. So I think as well you've got to give great kudos to Mike Farher from Corrifin, who played with the club yesterday in winning the senior championship, but is clearly looking past his playing career, which still has a couple of years to run, in terms of his ability to coach. And the Corrifin thumbprint was very much on Munavee Abbey's performance against Kilconnelly on Saturday in Tuam Stadium. And they'll have a big day out in Tuam in 2 weeks' time in the Connacht Club Championship, whoever they play. Of course, Munavee Abbey and Corrifin will both have home advantage. Whether both will play in Tuam or not on a Saturday and on a Sunday, we'll have to wait and see how that works out.
Could the ground take it?
Munavee Abbey will wait for Kilmina of Mayo and Anna Duff of Leitrim to play next weekend. You'd imagine it should be Kilmina, and that would be two Galway Mayo clashes if Ballina come through London. First up, it's Menla, who beat Tuam Stars yesterday to get their way back up to intermediate. It wasn't that many years ago Menla were up senior, so they've started the climb on the ladder, and Menla will go well, I think, in the Connacht Club Championship. But first up, they have to play a quarterfinal, and it's a tough game against the Roscommon champion St. Michael's from Coote Hill. That's next Sunday in Tuam Stadium at 2 o'clock. By the way, I'm after getting hot off the press, another fixture for next Sunday, and that's the ladies' football Connacht final. Well, Kilcairn Clonburn will play Knockmore of Mayo in that Connacht final. It's fixed for 1 o'clock next Sunday in Swinford, Keith. So we'll have live coverage of that game, and then over to Tuam Stadium for Menla against St. Michael's. So the sport keeps cranking on. But there are three Galway clubs representing in the Provincial Club Football Championship, and I'm sure for all three, Corrifin, Munavee Abbey and Menla, they'll have their eyes on the big prize, and that is Provincial Honours.
Now, Connacht staged a brilliant comeback to beat Ulster.
It was an amazing second half. I mean, I wouldn't have been alone in thinking that the game was gone when they trailed by 20-3 early in the second half. And you're kind of thinking, okay, look at two wins from the first two games, not too bad, we can afford a slip up here at home against Ulster, even though it's not nice losing home in an interpro. You don't mind losing the odd game.
Yeah.
But Sports Ground is a fortress now for Connacht, and you know, we're 2 years into the 5G pitch and they're getting used to the surface, and it is an advantage. Albeit Ulster have a similar surface now in Ravenhill, so they're getting used to playing on those kind of astroturfy type of conditions as well. But Connacht blitzed them in the last half an hour. It was absolutely magical to watch. And it was great that they eventually got over the line and got the try to win the game with about 6-7 minutes to go and held on at the end. So it was a terrific night for anybody in the sports ground, and it was sold out. It was a great atmosphere. And Connacht are top of the table in the URC on the back of that victory. So fair play. Three wins out of three for Pete Wilkins' side. And onwards and upwards for them.
And a busy night, I was told, in town after that.
Had to be. I have no doubt a lot of the Ulster guys would have been down and staying for the night as well. So there would have been a great atmosphere around Galway on Saturday night.
Now, I was listening to you and over the weekend, Lochray's Pat Hooban has played his last game for Dundalk. He's their all-time top scorer and he's only 32. He's only a child.
He'll do a job. Well, we spoke about this, didn't we, a couple of weeks ago, about Galway United. What do they need to do to strengthen? I mean, all day long, I'd be moving heaven and earth to get Pat Hooban back. I'm sure that's what's going on in the background for Galway United. If it isn't, it should be. And people need to just understand how good he is as a striker. 150 goals for Dundalk. He's their all-time leading scorer. They have a big night coming up for him, ironically, the weekend after next, where it's more or less a testimonial dinner to honour Pat for being their all-time top scorer. And that'll be bittersweet for him. He'll have his family up there from Lochray, and it's in Dundalk. And they'll have a great night and a great celebration. And then they're sending him on his way, as if to say, you're surplus to requirements, which I find bizarre. He's the club captain. He's still had a year to go. Certainly could be doing a job for them. But it's cutbacks. It's just the nature of League of Ireland. They've had to cut their cloth. And look, they'll have to live by that decision. I think what it is that a lot of the Europa League money that they got a couple of years ago has run out, and Dundalk haven't been as competitive in the last couple of years, where Shamrock Rovers have completely dominated in the last 4 years in the league. They're now the big money club. I'd love to get Rory Gaffney back to Galway United with Pat Hooban. Imagine that front two in the Premier Division next year with a point to prove.
Would you want to touch John Caulfield first, though?
John Caulfield is on his travels. I don't know whether we should say where he's gone, but that's the nature of the man. Mm. He's gone looking at players, even as we speak this week. So that's his job. He is literally going to be scouting right now until probably into the new year, looking to get players for Galway United. Because he knows, whether you like it or not, it's one thing destroying everybody in the Eritrea League First Division. He probably took way more learnings from the FAI Cup semi-final defeat at home to Bowes in terms of what Galway United need for next season against the top teams.
Because you're in that league now and that's it.
Different level, Keith. Yeah. And I hope Pat Hooban is the start of bridging the gap to that different level to make Galway United not just a competitive team, but a team that's looking to push on and win things in the Premier Division.
And make a difference. And they have a great following now. From a commercial point of view, it should be a good model now. Galway got a Camogie All-Ireland on Saturday night.
They got an All-Star, yeah, they did. Roisin Black from Oran Mó Mairí got the All-Star, Keith.
Well done to her.
It was a team that was always going to be dominated by Cork, who got 8 as the champions, but you know, Galway were robbed in that semi-final, many would say. We still talk about some of the refereeing decisions, but that's the difference between getting to a final and winning it and not getting to a final. 8 All-Stars as against 1. Look, that's just the way it is. Waterford got 3, Tip got 2 and Kilkenny got 1. But good luck to Cork. That seems to be the trend in recent years, that teams who win the All-Ireland go and dominate the All-Stars. We saw it with Limerick with the hurlers. I'd love to see something come in where the max that any county could get in terms of All-Stars would be 5. And that would see a better share of it around.
It's a good idea.
Do you know, because look, you could always pick 9 or 10 from the winning team. Of course, who's going to argue with you on that point? Because at the end of the day, they're the best team and they've played the most number of matches to be in the shop window to win an All-Star. But there was a better system back in the day when literally you could share it around. And if you won the league, you were guaranteed an All-Star. If you did really well as a minnow in your provincial championship, chances were you'd have got an All-Star, a bit like Kevin O'Brien with Wicklow back in the day. Those kind of things don't happen anymore, and they really should. But well done to Roisin. That's not taken away from you, Roisin. Tremendous to get a senior All-Star. They're hard won, and you got one.
Before I go to Henrietta Knight, ask Ollie, don't know why they want me to ask you about TG Cahir. Why aren't Galway matches shown on TG Cahir? You don't know.
Well, I don't know the ins and outs of the contractual obligations between TG Cahir and Galway GA. All I do know is that it's far more profitable for Galway GA for matches not to be on TG Cahir, because their streaming service in recent years has gone through the roof.
Yeah.
There is an enormous appetite for the product that Galway GA are putting out. And I have to say, hats off. I can't say too much because we're providing the commentary on those games. So whether that has something to do with it, I'm sure it has something because it's contributing. But the camera work, Dermot Flaherty and his team, and Raf, all the people who do the camera work, it just is brilliant. I mean, I know we still like to encourage people to get out there and support their teams. That's not physically possible for so many people that are overseas or around the country, and they want to see the Galway County Final. I'd love to see the stats for how many people purchased the stream in Ireland, outside of Galway, for Munavie Abbey Kilconnelly on Saturday, but particularly yesterday for Corrifin Moycullen. I'd say there was a huge national interest in that fixture. And so there's two ways you get to see a game that's not in your county. You either turn on TG Car and it's there, or if it's not, the facility is there to purchase a stream in most counties. Not every, but in most counties. And I would say hats off to Paul Bellew and his team right now, because I don't know of a county that provides a better product. And we take that for granted since COVID now, that we could sit down at home and bring up on our smart TVs these matches, pay a tenner and sit back and watch a county final or any sort of a championship match at home. Glass in one hand, bag of chickadees in the other, and off you go.
That's a nice way to be looking at it. Come here to me. What's this about Henrietta Knight making a comeback as a racehorse trainer at the age of 77?
Well, I'm sure you heard of Best Mate, the Cheltenham Gold Cup horse. That was such a dominant horse back in the day. Henrietta Knight was the trainer of Best Mate. So she retired in 2012, and so she should. She'd reached retirement age. She was 65 years of age.
That's 11 years ago, yeah.
Why wouldn't you pack it in? But she's obviously fed up at home, and maybe she doesn't like what's on Netflix or what's on the television.
So she wants to go back.
And the fire is still burning within her. So Henrietta says, sod this, I'm applying for my licence. And she has. And so in the new year, she's going back training horses at 77 years of age.
Good on her.
Fair play, Henrietta Knight.
I'm delighted.
She reckons she'll have 30 horses being trained in her yard.
Any of them
come January.
So any of them come to Galway next year?
You wouldn't be one bit surprised. The chances are, of course, she'll be coming to Ireland to some of the big meetings, be it Punchestown or to Galway. And well, sure as hell, she'll be back in Cheltenham. You can bet your bottom dollar with that. So there's a comeback for the ages.
Somebody said Henrietta must be stuck for a few bob. I doubt she is.
I doubt it. I think anybody at that level, having won as much as she has, I doubt very much if it's money. I'd say it's literally just... Yeah. Racing is in your blood when you're at that game.
Listen, well done to you. Well done over the week. Well done to everybody over the weekend. The commentaries, because I listened all weekend, the commentaries were just amazing. And all of the team, God above, they were hither and thither, to and fro.
It was great.
Including you.
To have such sport to be able to bring, though, as well, you know, because even the preview on Friday night, I enjoyed Jonathan in Kilconnelly and Tommy in Abbey bringing a flavour of what it means to the parishes. And then you go to these games and you see what the rugby means to Connacht with their victory on Saturday, and you see what a victory means to Munavie Abbey, and you see how crestfallen the wonderful people of Kilconnelly are, knowing that this is the second year in a row they've lost a county final and they have to come back. And then you see the celebrations of Corrifin yesterday, and you think, how can it mean this much when you've won so much already? And it meant maybe as much, if not more, than any of them that came previous. That's what sport means to people.
Well done, Oliver. Thank you for joining us and all the team as well. And again, Sport on the Hour every hour here on Galway Bay FM. Yeah, well, very good morning to you. Welcome into today's programme. We'll find out from Kenny's bookstore, actually, what time Drina will be signing, so we'll get that done. Speaking of books, though, delivered into us last week by Cathy O'Malley was a book called On a Donkey Called Elvis. And it's a lovely story indeed, but the back of which she says, this book is a panoramic view of life. One individual growing up in the west of Ireland, and it goes on in the 60s and 70s, and it goes on from there. I think a lot of people could resonate with some of the aspects of it and the tragedy within it. But it is very much a light-hearted piece, and Cathy sits opposite me today. And Cathy, good morning to you.
Good morning, Keith.
When did you, I mean, first off, you had a tough life and you started early in life, so you did, but when did you decide to write about it?
Well, myself and Jack, that was my former husband, we talked about it a lot. And he told me his story. And we were speaking earlier about the different angles I had come at from writing it one way or another. And I started with him. And I just didn't fit in the story right the way you're reading it now. And so I just went back over and started it, what you see now, and wrote in. his story.
What I was saying.
So I would say, sorry.
Yeah, no, go on, far ahead, no.
A few years in the making, yes.
Yeah. I was just saying to one of my colleagues this morning, it would make a very nice play, so it would. It would be a nice play, theatre production. Because a lot of people listening to this program today could resonate with some of the content of the book, and then the younger people would scratch their head and say, "Really? Was life that difficult?" And back.
That's right. Back then, yeah, it was actually. Yeah,
it was.
It was.
Yeah. And I'm not taking away from the book, but I mean, it's very well written, and you've stitched it very well together. But I mean, you had tragedy early in life.
Yes, I did.
And then you had another tragedy, and then life was in the middle of it.
That's what happens. You have to do life. I mean, with a family growing up, I needed to be present for them. It's not that I wrote off all my grief and just walked away from what happened to me. I dealt with it in my own way, but I think I just channeled so much into them in terms of love and affection. Mm-hmm. And that kind of answers that other question you asked earlier about how did you manage to go back teaching? Well, I just felt like I was teaching all the time with all of these little ones around the table every night, and I thought, maybe I'll just go back and finish my degree and see what happens after that, you know. It's even like this production now, it's like trusting the process.
Yeah. But it's a hell of a story, Cathy Zod is. I mean, I read it yesterday, and I mean, I'm not saying it's easy to read. I'm not saying that it's an easy read, but it's a, it's your story. It really is your story. It's your story of being a child, and then your parents, then your brother, then you, and then your brother's wedding, then an accident. So you take us through it all.
Yes. Well, it's the honest truth. Okay. Yeah. I didn't add anything in. I might have peppered Jack's story a little bit with maybe day-to-day events, but basically our overall, his story is true too.
Mm. And you portray Jack as being a lovely person.
He was, yes.
An American.
He was American, but he was Irish-born.
Yeah.
But he went to the States when he was very young.
And you tell that in the book, tell that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
We're not going to say too much more about it, but you take it. But then, bizarrely, and then I was going through it and I've marked here. This is what I have to do nowadays, is mark stuff. Mm. But then you ended out going out east, so you did.
Yes. We packed up and headed off to the Middle East. He worked there anyway for several years before we met. We'd met several years earlier, obviously.
At a funeral.
Yes, and we just clicked, and somehow it just worked out, and it was a while before we actually went to the Middle East. He'd settled in, and we went out, and the children settled into school, and as you can tell from the plot line, a lot of things happen
in
the Middle East as well, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm not going to take it from there, and then you take it towards, you know, you take it very well together in blocks, so you do. Mm. Why did you decide then to call it On a Donkey Called Elvis?
It's just one of the lines in the story.
Mm.
Most farms would have had a horse and a donkey.
Yeah.
As well as other farm animals, you know.
Yeah.
The donkey was always the pet.
Yeah.
That could trust the donkey to bring home the turf, you know, and deliver the bottles of tea to the bog.
Or to be the friend.
That's right, yes.
The friendly animal from there.
Yeah, eat the carrots and let you.
And then, I mean, life, when I didn't get to finish it. I tried to do it early this morning, but I couldn't get to it. So at what stage did you finish the book then?
Like you said earlier, it was an easy read, but it wasn't an easy write.
No.
I'm bringing it to its conclusion. Several episodes took place after, we'll say, I went back to qualify for teaching, and as a woman in Ireland, it's like you always have these challenges at certain stages in your life, you know. and things that I really didn't want to deal with, I did, because I figured it sounded better. If I was going to be telling the truth, I might as well just round it all off.
Mm.
Now, it's obviously not the end of my story.
No.
But there won't be a sequel.
How did you find the process? Because I suppose, again, what I'm not taking from the book, it's called And a Donkey Called Elvis by Cathy O'Malley. But, like, you raked up an awful lot.
I did.
I mean, an awful lot.
Mm-hmm. In a short space of time, too, as you say, with the easy read that it is. Yeah.
You really did, you know. So the emotions must have been going around the head each and every time that you left down the pen or you stopped typing on the computer.
Mm-hmm. Well, my cousin, who's always urging me to do this book, asked me the other day, she says, was it all very cathartic? Were you in bits every time you wrote an episode? Or I thought, no, I wasn't. I was doing something creative.
Mm-hmm.
And it came out creative. I didn't want it to come out as a disaster or a series of disastrous events. You know what I mean? I just wanted to be a creative work. And then I, as you'd say, shoved it under the bed for a long time. And I thought, well, if I've done it, and myself and Jack had talked about it, then maybe I should just have a go at publishing. So I sent it to a couple of publishers, and the obvious came back, you know, rejections after rejection. And then one publisher decided to take the chance. It's Austin Macaulay Publishers.
Mm-hmm.
And wrote me a lovely letter urging me to publish, even though I kind of didn't want to. What I did then was I gave it to two people, one acquaintance and one friend. So the acquaintance I would have been would have had a medical background, would be a reader, had turned her hand to life coaching. And I said, see what you think. And she got back to me when she finished the book and said, you need to publish that.
Mm.
Because women will read that and get encouraged from it. As well as, she said, it's a bit of a laugh. Here and there, you know.
Oh, no, there aren't. There's many a laugh in it, so there is.
Mm.
And no, there's fun. There's humour and there's fun in it.
Yes.
But, like, I don't think that today's generation would survive what you survived.
Well, probably I wouldn't either, but here I am, you know.
But it's...
And that second reader, the other person I gave it to, really enjoyed it. And, you know, if it's a friend, they'll say, oh, that was great. But if it's somebody with leaning towards having some... sense of balance or...
Yeah, no skin in the game.
That's it.
Yeah.
Well, if that other person was truthful with me, then okay.
Mm.
Then I just thought, okay, that's it, I'll do it.
Mm.
But it didn't come easy to either write it or publish it.
Or finish it
or promote it.
Mm.
Because I have to sit with my feelings too for a while and see how I feel about putting it all out there for real now.
Oh, it's out there.
Oh, it's out there, yeah. What I mean is putting my feelings out there about what I achieved.
Mm.
But I was reading an interview by Simon Pegg. He's an actor that acted alongside Tom Cruise in Mission Impossible 3, this year's movie. And he has his own challenges. And he was, in the interview, he said, well, if you put a little bit of yourself out there and it does somebody some good, then that's a good thing,
mm.
Which is how I feel.
But I suppose, and I'm not being smart when I say this in any way, but I'd say there's an awful lot of Cathy O'Malley's out there.
Probably.
That perhaps didn't have the tragedy in life, but had the tough times.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, like, again, not taken from the book itself, but in part of the book you talk about your children coming along and you were very young, but you talk about washing the cloth nappies.
Yes.
In, I forget what the
boiling pot. Big pot.
And that pot had to be kept away from the rest. And you put something into it, lanolin or something into it. Forget now what it was called, but it's
Milton, sterilizing.
Yeah.
Tablets or something.
But you put those in, but you had to have them ready every day.
That's right. Yeah, we all did it. You know, in my generation we did that. You know.
Yeah. The nappies had just come along in my generation when our kids came along in 1990. But the nappies had come in. The towels were going out, thank God.
That's right, yeah. And for my last child, I used the disposable nappies, and was I grateful for that invention.
Yeah.
You know.
And I said to you before you came on here, how are the children, how are your family and children with the book?
Yeah, they think it's great. They think it's a great thing.
Because you don't hold back, though.
I know I don't.
There's stuff.
Maybe I should, but I didn't. Stuff no, I let it all out
there's
there.
Stuff that mummies and daddies shouldn't tell children, but it's in the book.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, oh, we talk. Mm. Yeah. But they, they're quite happy for it to be published.
Of course, they should be. Yeah.
And there's another one on the way.
Another child or another book?
Child book. Hopefully, I'm trying to put together a list of characters.
And what's the basis for the next book?
It's a fantasy, medieval, almost historic, not romp, but, you know.
Yeah.
It's probably basically what you see nowadays or read nowadays. It's that kind of genre.
Somebody said it's an absolutely fantastic read. It had so many emotions of grief and happiness, but so easy to read. She's wonderful.
Did someone say that about me?
They did. Oh. It's there. It came in 11:37 today on Discord.
Oh, thank you very much, Discord.
That's the system we use.
I know.
It's the system we're using there. So
thanks very much,
It is a lovely book. It really is. And it is easy. I sat yesterday in front of the fire and in front of the stove.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't feel like doing anything. And I said I was going to read it before you came in today. Now I've got this about 12 or 14 pages left that I didn't get to. But well done to you.
I'm not going to spoil it on you now.
No. Look at you can see where I am. This is where I am. I'll tell you now where I am. I'm at page 133, so I'm more than 10 pages away. I have a little bit more to go.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll get to it.
It's easy going, you know. It's not meant to be a...
It's thought-provoking. Mm. I wouldn't say easy going. Mustn't have been easy to write either. It's thought-provoking. It really is.
Yes.
Well done to you, Cathy O'Malley.
Thank you.
Can they buy it?
Online at Eason's at the moment, but I'm trying to get it into the local bookshops because people come up to me on the streets now and say, where can we get that?
Mm.
So for the moment, I just direct them to Eason's online or Amazon or just Google it and they get whatever closest bookshop it is to them.
Okay, so it's called On a Donkey Called Elvis. We could break into an Elvis song.
The old
donkey wouldn't either. Listen, thanks indeed for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Not at all. Well done to you. It's called On a Donkey Called Elvis. You can get it in Easton's online. Yeah, and try Charlie Burns as well. Has it gone into Charlie's yet?
Not yet.
You're trying to get it in.
Trying to get it in.
Go to Vinny and give him half a box load and he'll look after them for you.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Oh, I'm his agent. Where you go?
Off
you
go. Good. Thanks very much.
Thanks for joining us. Quick commercial break. And we're looking at a very special event that's taking place in Moycullen, by the way. Stay tuned for that and more to come between now and 12 midday. It's 11:41 and we're with you until 12 midday. Hey, very good morning. Welcome in to today's programme. Now, there's a lovely event taking place, so there is, and we'll give you details of what it's going to take place next Sunday, the 12th of November at 11 a.m. And have we been waiting for the Moycullen Bypass for a long time? We certainly have. But before the new Moycullen Bypass officially opens, Scoil Valley Nua is to host a 5K family run walk, whatever way you want to do it. But the wonderful... Coley Gavin Sr. joins me in studio. Coley, morning to you.
Good morning, Keith, and thanks for having us.
And sorry about yesterday, but it wasn't to be for Moycullen.
Not just, yeah. We were very optimistic that it would be. But look, we've appeared in 4 county finals and we've won 2, so we have to be happy and about that.
It sounds like perhaps there was a celebration anyway for being in it last night by the sounds of your wonderful dulcet tones today.
Yeah, we had a good night, Of course, we were licking our wounds and we got beaten by a better team yesterday and we have to say congrats to Cora Finn and we hope they'll go a bit further than we went last year. So that's all we can say. Fair play to them. It was a lovely game to watch.
Now coming back, and I'm sure the winning team, the team that brought you to Pearse Stadium yesterday, and maybe the Corrie Finn team will come out and join you as well, because there was great camaraderie. I was listening to the commentary here with the lads. There was great camaraderie afterwards on the pitch, so it wasn't a them and us situation. But hopefully they'll all come out next Sunday at 11 o'clock. So the bypass has an unofficial opening, really. And you're going doing a run and walk on it.
Yeah, we're doing a Ross, a 5K Ross, which is good for the school. It raises the profile of our school, which is good as well. It'll raise some very needed funds for paying for buses to go training for handball. They play hurling and football and handball and swimming. So we need money to pay for the buses, basically. A board of management can't afford that kind of... schools don't get what they should be getting to keep them funded.
No,
so
they don't. No.
It's down to parents today to do that. So. Yeah.
So what way are you going to do it then? Because Michelle Ní Cronin, I met her at the Mockless Parade and she was telling me about it. So she sent you in to me today.
Yeah.
So how is this going to run then? What time should they be there? How should they register? How much is it going to cost them? And how much can they fundraise for it?
It's first of all, I have to say, it's a fun day. And it's going to be a fun day for a whole family. We'll have refreshments there for everybody as well. You register on Facebook, Scoil Ballinu. Plus, we're going to be in Scoil Ballinu on Saturday from 1 to 3. That's for people who want to register and pick up their numbers for the day.
Yeah.
So there's a two-hour gap there for somebody, and it'll save us a lot of time on the morning of the actual race. The Ross starts, as you said, at 11 a.m. sharp. Participants should be there 1 hour in advance. That day, or next Sunday, will be a very historic day. We've waited for this bypass for 44 years, since it was first muted. And this was the third way that they were going to... They had blocked two other ways originally. So it's great to see it opened, but I'm afraid it's a bit late. And it won't really be a success unless the outer bypass is opened.
Mm.
And that's the pity of the whole thing.
But it's a success for the people in certain areas in Mike Cullen, and it's a success for Mike Cullen because, I mean, it does get you out of the bottleneck, and now it allows the village to thrive.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and I think the business people of Mike Cullen are delighted with having, because it's a bottleneck every morning. Like, you go out to Mike Cullen at 7:30, from 7:30 to 8:30, it's just nearly
impossible.
You're
going nowhere.
Yeah, you're going nowhere. No. You're a parking lot. That's
yeah,
it.
Yeah. So, just come back, how much is registration for Sunday?
The tickets for an adult is a tenner, and for children over four is fiver. So, it's really only a small donation.
And is it, so where is it going to start from, or where is it going to finish?
It's going to start, first of all, the first half a kilometre is going to be taken up with a car park situation. Anyone that comes, we'll have parking there, and we'll have stewards.
On the road?
On the new bypass.
Oh,
so you'll be the first to park there if you want to come.
And the last, I'd say, too.
Yeah, it'll be definitely the last. So that's good. So we'll have stewards there in place, and we'll help everyone to park.
Where do they go to?
They come to the Drumcong side. That's the
Drumcong side.
Drumcong, or we'll say the Uachtaráin side of Mike Cullen, or the Scoil Ballinu side of Mike Cullen, whatever you wish. There'll be plenty of room, and we expect a fairly good crowd. There's a lot of them have registered already online, which is great.
And how far will they go then? Are they going to come in all the way to the roundabout?
What's happening is you'll go very close to the roundabout. It's 2.5K and 2.5K back.
So it's 5K.
It'll be a U-turn, and the start line and the finish line is in the same place.
So they'll get a beautiful view of Wildlands then when they're running.
They sure will, yeah. And the Ballycork Lake, and there's some lovely green fields.
There's
actually, I've driven it myself last week.
Shh, you weren't supposed to.
Well, I walked it, though. I was actually the two Galway engineers, county council engineers, brought me for a spin, so we'd see what was out in front of us. And there's some lovely big fields. You think you were above in Kildare when you see some big fields on the right-hand side as you go in towards Galway now on it. And then you have Ballycork Lake, which is beautiful on the other side.
Yeah.
So
It opens up Ballycork.
Oh, it does, yeah. But they have a fantastic job done on the road itself. And the leads in are good. And like Wills Brothers, I have to say, they did a very, very professional job. and they're helping us out on the day with security and health and safety and that stuff. So they're brilliant.
So go back now, because Michelle Ní Cruinne will be giving out to you if I don't keep you focused. So it's all in Aidas Gol Bhaile Ní Nua.
Yeah.
And again, so it's going to kick off at 11 o'clock. So it is on Sunday next, the 12th of November. Its registration is €10 per adult, 5 for children over 5 years of age. Under fives go free.
Yeah.
And it's going to start 11 o'clock sharp. So down around the Drimcong side of it. So just make your way down from there. And then it's 2.5 kilometres up to near the roundabout. And then you do a U-turn there and you make it back to the finish line, which is where the start line was.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And we'll have markers. We'll have markers up. We're putting up markers next Saturday. So we're a busy day next Saturday to prepare for the whole thing. And another thing, Keith, just for people that are listening to us, and if they can't make it on the day, they can actually donate on Ross 5K Scull Bhaile Ní Nua.
Ross 5K Scull Bhaile Ní Nua, from there. If they want to get further details, they can do so from there. And when is it going to open fully then to the public, do we know?
Well, we're not sure. In fact, the Wills brothers themselves aren't sure. There's a lot of ancillary work to be done on the approach road coming and going, and walls to be finished and that, so it's pretty close, but I'd say they're looking at it probably another 2 weeks after we have, so it'll be the end of November, I would say.
Yeah, somebody said to me the 10th, well, I don't know what day, the 10th it is of December.
Yeah, but December, that's very possible. Look, nobody knows, the council aren't telling us, and the Wills brothers certainly don't know. So I suppose it'll depend on ministers to see when they're able to come and that kind of stuff. So,
what would you want a minister for?
Well, it appears that a minister will have to open the road.
Harry, sure. Like, but I'll get them to, you cut the ribbon altogether.
Yeah, I'd be delighted to do it.
You cut the ribbon, away you go from there. Listen, lovely to talk to you, and thanks indeed for joining us today, and keep up the good work.
Well, thanks for having us, Keith.
Good luck.
You've already been good to us,
Lovely to see August Sufi and Garamina Margot too.
Long before.
Hello, Matagov. Now, let me just tell you what's on tomorrow morning. Again, the EPA is helping businesses in County Galway to show their commitment to fight food waste with the Food Waste Charter. Brown Thomas event to support women in their careers on Wednesday. We've got the Evergreen slot as well tomorrow. And we're celebrating 50 years of Athenry Camogie Club. That and much more tomorrow morning on the programme. And again, if you want to get in contact with us, feel free to do so. You can just email comments, comments, at galwaybfm.ie. And that's comments, comments, at galwaybfm.ie. Gina Maid, Thaugan, Dun Law and You, and thank you for your company since early morning this morning. We're back to live from Studio One, starting at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. That is it. Stand by. Ronan is next. He's with you right through until 3 o'clock today. Don't forget comments at galwaybfm.ie. That's comments at galwaybfm.ie. Or you can call us on 0917700077. John Morley produced today. Fiona took all of your comments, but from yours really, Keith Finnegan, until tomorrow just after 9. Have a good and a safe Monday. Bye-bye.